it's always a privilege to come and speak, because I always do get so nervous, and then when we sit here and we just get to just pray together, it just gets such a peace to me, knowing we're all just brothers and sisters, and I really don't need to be too afraid. Maybe some of you need to be scared of it, but... So when Mark asked me to speak on one of the Wednesday nights, I was going through 1 Kings, and I wasn't sure what to speak on, but the Lord kept bringing me back to 1 Kings chapter 3 that I had just read, actually just right before he had asked me to speak. And it's a very familiar story. We're not going to read all of it because it's so much just for the sake of time, but it's the story of Solomon and when he asked for wisdom, and the Lord meets him in a dream at Gibeon. So... I'm really bad at sermon titles or lessons. That's not my spiritual gift. So we're just going to jump into it and share some of the thoughts the Lord gave me as we're just kind of looking at this story. So the first thing I want to look at is one of the thoughts the Lord gave me, as a lot of this correlates with our past and how it affects our future, or how it doesn't affect our future. So the first thought I had was, our past situations do not define our future limitations. And as we will, it's in 1 Kings chapter 3, and we'll just kind of jump in at a verse. We'll just kind of be back and forth here in the interaction. You know, I know a lot of you are familiar with the story, but if not, read it a little later. But the Lord's having a conversation with Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom. The Lord and have a conversation back and forth. And in verse 12, we look at the Lord's talking to Solomon, and he says, "Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days." And I was thinking about that as I was reading it. And I was thinking about Solomon, and I was just thinking about that whole situation. Like, here's Solomon, and we all know what David and Bathsheba and that whole situation. And Solomon, he's a young teenager, I believe, and someone wants to correct me on that later, that's fine. But you kind of wonder, did he grow up knowing the story of his dad and his mom? I wonder if David was always worried if Solomon was going to ask him, like, how did his parents meet? But you think, like, I wonder if that kind of weighed on Solomon, like, the thoughts that would have done to him. Like, who am I going to be now? Look at the situation I've come from. And even in my own life, I've had situation thoughts like that where, like, your selection of education or where you work or different situations, we put limitations on ourselves. And I think what that does is it limits how God can use us. Like, I think about me, like, if you asked me 5 years ago, you're going to be speaking on a Wednesday night, I would have laughed at you, because there's no way the Lord is going to use me like that. But I like how the Lord didn't mention anything about Solomon's past. If you look at verse 14, the Lord says, "So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." It wasn't about Solomon's past. It was about what he was going to do in the future. And I think that's really encouraging to us that, you know, I thought about the young man Joe mentioned in prison as we were praying. I mean, this kid probably made a lot of bad choices, and yet the Lord still can use that young man. I mean, yeah, he's in prison. He uses him in prison. Obviously, the Lord used someone to witness to him in prison and minister to him, and now he's going out, and the Lord can still use him. So I think sometimes we need to be careful looking at our past and defining how God can use us or how he can't use us. I don't think that's how he works. The second thought I had was, your past broken relationships don't define their future restoration. And I thought about, again, so we're looking at go back to verse 6 in this situation. And Solomon's, the Lord asked Solomon, "What shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." Now, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about David in this situation with Solomon and Bathsheba, and you know, we know in some of the Psalms, the Psalm 51 particularly, how David responded when his sin was brought before him, and he was brokenhearted and he was repentant, but it's still, I think he was wise enough to see, like, how he wounded Bathsheba, what kind of damage he could have done to Solomon. And I think, you know, as a father myself and as a husband, I look at my own life where I've wounded the people I love. I've hurt my wife. I've hurt my child. It's just by my words, my actions, out of selfishness, out of ignorance. But I've wounded them. I've hurt them. And yet the Lord restores it. The Lord is, he's a God of restoration. And relationships that look so hopeless and so broken, maybe there's someone in your life right now, whether a friend, a child, a parent, a spouse, the Lord is a Lord of restoration, and he uses things like confession, humility, brokenheartedness. He uses these tools to restore lives, to restore hearts. Honestly, I was just kind of thinking if I should share this with you, but Jen's not here tonight, but I told her I was going to kind of share this. I thought that when her and I first got married, I was not the best husband. And honestly, there's probably a very good reason she shouldn't be with me anymore. But the Lord touched her heart. I have no doubt that the only reason me and her are together is because of him. And that's how he works. That's how he operates. He takes those broken situations that we mess up, that we make such poor choices, and our selfishness and our sin, that we wound people and we hurt the ones we love, and yet he restores hearts, he restores relationships. And I just thought that was just, what an awesome thought that is tonight. The last thought I had with this, I know we're going a little quick, but that's okay. The last thought was, our past sins don't define our future character. And this is my favorite, and this is what really jumped out at me when I first was reading this story. We'll look at verse 14 again. I know I read it, but, and this is the Lord talking to Solomon. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And that's what really jumped out at me, is like, this is the Lord speaking to Solomon about David. And that just blew my mind, because when I was thinking about David, here's Solomon, the son of Bathsheba, and we know the story there. And yet look how the Lord spoke of David. He didn't bring up all that. He didn't bring up anything, but he uses words like, throughout the rest of 1 Kings, when you read it, he compares all these other kings to David. David's his yardstick of kings. He uses words like upright, loyal, obedient, righteous. I mean, words that we would not pick. I was thinking, like, trying to correlate what David did to something we would know. Like, I know most of y'all remember Bill Clinton. What's the one thing that jumps out in your mind? It's not upright, holy, righteous, right? And this is, I mean, David did something that diabolical, probably more wicked. And look how the Lord spoke about him. And what really blew my mind is that that's how the Lord speaks about us. Those of us in Christ, when he looks at us, that's what he says. That's what he sees. And I struggle with that thought a lot. I struggle with the idea that, I think I've said this before, that I can almost understand, I can almost perceive Christ dying for my sins before I was saved. But what blows my mind is that he died for the ones after. And he knew all about them. And yet he did it anyway. And even as we walk this walk and in this flesh, we all struggle. And we see our sins firsthand. And I think that's what's really, really, I think it's good to see it, but I think at the same time we need to see how the Lord sees it. That yes, we're in this body and we struggle, but when he sees us, he doesn't see that, because that's taken care of. He sees the righteousness of Christ in us. And that should be so liberating and so encouraging, because, I mean, maybe today you come in here tonight and you're defeated. You're like, I blew it. I blew it at work. I blew it at home. I blew it at school. I said things I shouldn't have said. I struggle with things I struggle with every day. And once again, I fail. And yet, you're here tonight, and the Lord just says, look at my child. He's righteous. He's holy. Not because of anything we've done, and y'all know this, but what Christ did and how he clothed us in his righteousness. How encouraging is that? So I was just thinking, like, yeah, even as you're sitting here tonight, maybe you're discouraged, maybe you're defeated. Don't be. If you're in Christ, don't be. Yes, be convicted, be repentant, confess. But in Psalm 51, and we don't have to turn there, but it's the psalm that David wrote after Nathan came to him about this whole thing with Bathsheba. And one of the verses David said was, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And I think that is so beautiful, that it wasn't just myself, David's salvation he was worried about, but he said, Lord, bring back that joy. And I think that's what the Lord wants to do, that we shouldn't be miserable Christians, you know, We're in Him, and that should be such a thought. That should be so liberating and so joyous. So as I was kind of going through this, I kind of noticed a theme that it goes past and the future, and I was thinking about what Paul wrote in Philippians 3, and he said, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." And I thought about that, and, you know, in that he's not just, like I said, just forgetting what's behind, just either way. Like, don't get bogged down in the stuff that you did wrong, but don't get caught up in the things you did right. Just don't even look back. Just keep moving forward. Just keep your eyes on Him. Keep pressing forward. Keep going. Don't get discouraged. Don't get proud in the victories you did have in Him, but just keep moving forward. And I wrote down something here I thought was kind of funny. Spoiler alert, we all know how this ends. You know, we think about Philippians, He who began a good work in me, is faithful to complete it. So we know how this ends. We know how He's going to do it. And I think the hardest struggle sometimes is seeing the work in process. Sometimes we watch a house. If you ever had a house built, it's the slowest process ever. It's like, are you ever going to put it up? Is it ever going to be finished? And yet it's right on the same, it's on the time frame. It's everything's where it needs to be, but it's frustrating watching it. And I think sometimes we get that way in our own lives. It's frustrating seeing it, especially how we know where we want to be and we see where we're at. But don't be discouraged. He's going to finish the work He completed. So anyway, I hope that was an encouragement. I hope it was a help. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. I'm a few minutes early, but Lord, I just want to thank You again for this opportunity to be here and just to share Your word. Lord, You know I always get a little nervous, and but Lord, I really, there's two things I wanted to do tonight was glorify You and encourage my brothers and sisters, and I hope I did that. Thank You for loving us, Lord. Thank You for meeting us where we're at. Thank You for washing us clean and restoring us. Thank You for the joy of salvation. Father, help us to remember who we are in You. When we see our faults, when we see our sins, help us not get bogged down in that, Lord. Help us to confess it immediately. Help us to run to You, Lord, and just be washed in the blood and restore to us that fellowship that we need so much, Father. Again, Lord, thank You for everybody here tonight. I hope it was a help to them. I pray for each one of them here that they go back out and they're encouraged and they're lifted up and they're just excited to serve You again tomorrow and just to continue to run the race You set before us. Lord, I pray You help us to run it together. You've put us all here together as a family. Help us not to forget that. Help us to realize how much we need each other. We need each other's gifts. And that we would just be there for each other, to challenge each other, to encourage each other, Lord, to lift each other up. And Lord, I thank You for each one that's done that for me. I've sensed their prayers. I thank You for them. I thank You for what You've done. And Lord, again, we just thank You for all You've done for us. We love You. We love Your Son. And it's His name we pray. Amen.